right? To be leaning every day on the Lord, to be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ, to be more and more like our Savior. And the only way to do that is to empty us of ourselves and let the Spirit fill us of God. Amen? Amen. All right. A couple of things this morning here. We're going to be talking about a number of things. And as I was studying here, we're going to be in Timothy. That's where we'll be spending the majority of our time. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn to the first book of Corinthians. And we'll start off in chapter 1, and then we'll hop to a couple other chapters there in the book as we go through. But there's something that I want to share with you. Before I do that, though, I want to give you a little bit of background, on what's taking place as we see this letter being written to the church at Corinth, right? As we've got to understand the background to understand it here. So first of all, Timothy, he's the topic of our discussion this morning. Timothy is a young man, and he lives in Lystra. That's where he first meets Paul the Apostle. And when Paul first comes through, he's a very young man. He knows the scriptures. He knows about God. He's been taught by his mother and by his grandmother. It doesn't tell us much about Timothy's father, though, only that he's a Roman citizen, so we don't know much else about him. As far as his walk of faith, we're really not told. When Paul comes back around through the town of Lystra on his second missionary journey, he comes through, and this time he runs into Timothy, and he invites Timothy to come with him on his missionary travels, come with him to preach the gospel, to start churches, to do this work, right? And remember, he met him on his first journey. And as he does, together, the two of them do some pretty important things. They actually seed a number of churches. Some of the churches that they seed are Thessalonica, Philippi, and Berea. Now, the church at Thessalonica, it began to go through a couple of issues, a couple of concerns. They were having some problems there. And so Paul ends up sending Timothy to the church at Thessalonica. And that's where we're going to be getting into here soon. But he sends him to this church, all right? Now, he goes there, he goes to Thessalonica, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this about it. He says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and we sent Timotheus," in other words, we sent Timothy, "our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." So there we see Paul say, all right, Timothy, you helped me as we planted this church. They're going through some hard times. You're a face that they know. Go to the church. We're going to stay here. You go there. Help them to work through these things. Well, here's what we find as we read through. God blesses the ministry there. He blesses Timothy in the work that he's doing there at the church at Thessalonica. And to that end, soon Timothy brings a very good report back about the church and the matters that they are in dealing with, the things that are going on. Timothy comes back. He gives them a great report about it. Now, this is where we bring up our message. This is where we begin here this morning. We're going to pick up at that point. Timothy is about to encounter some really difficult situations. He's about to go through some things. He's about to experience failure. He's about to experience disappointment. He's about to go through some hard times. But there's some lessons for us to learn as we glean some wisdom as we read about what Timothy goes through. In life, we all face these sort of times, don't we? Anyone ever felt disappointed when something didn't go the way that you'd hoped, or something didn't quite turn out the way that you thought it was going to? Have you ever felt like a failure? Ever tried to do something, really put your heart into it, really tried to be a blessing, and it just seemed like it was fruitless, like you didn't understand why, it just didn't work out? Anyone ever tried to do something and had one of those days where it seemed like everything you touch broke? Like, just one of those days where it's like, no matter what, first it was this, and then it was this, and by the end of the day, you're like, you know what, it's best if I just don't touch anything. Everything I touch, it seems to fall apart. Well, Timothy is about to go through a time much like this. And so hopefully by the time we finish this morning, I could give you some encouragement and some biblical guidance on how to deal with failure, with disappointment. There are times in our lives when we feel like we're between a rock and a hard place. We go this way, it's not the right answer. We go that way, it's not the right answer. No matter where we look, there's going to be difficulty. Often in life, we're already dealing with a great amount of weight, and that's just from the way that the world is, right? All the responsibilities that we have, all of the things that we have to take care of on a daily basis. And then we have those things that the world throws at you, right? Disappointments, discouragement, failure. We have health issues. We've got financial issues. All of these things come, and it just seems like sometimes the world just wants to really press down on you. Maybe you've been in a situation where maybe you were looked over for a promotion, or maybe you didn't get a job that you wanted. Maybe you were doing a job, and if you're like me, you'll have those days and you're like, you know, I really thought this was going to work a lot better than it did. They come, that we face disappointment, right? Everyone in this room tonight, everyone here in the church, at some point in your life, you face disappointment. I face disappointment. And chances are, we're going to face disappointment again sometime. It's part of life. But again, I hope to show you a biblical example of how to deal with it. Join me. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we come before you. Lord, we thank you. First and foremost, Father, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you are. Lord, we give you praise and all glory, for you are worthy of it. Father, we thank you most of all for the blood of Christ, Lord, the one that was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Father, your only begotten Son, Father, whose blood was shed on that cross at Calvary so that we could be washed of sin and be reunited with you, Lord, so that we could come and into the presence of our holy, our good, our just God. Father, we ask this morning that you'd be with us, that the Spirit would have a sweet fellowship here, that the Holy Spirit would be working amongst hearts, Lord, to bring not only understanding to those who know you, but Lord, to bring conviction upon those that don't know you, Lord, to help us to see the glory, Lord, and the love and the grace that's been made available unto us. Father, we ask that if there's anyone here who is dealing with disappointment, with failure, with hard times, that, Lord, this would be an encouragement to them. Father, we thank you for the word of God that you've made available unto us. Father, we thank you for all of your mercies. We pray for the church, Lord, that you'd be glorified in all that we say, all that we do. Father, I pray you help me now as I come to give the message. Help me to speak it clearly, Lord, to teach it accurately. Father, that we would all be able to take what we hear here today, Lord, that we'd have ears that are open to hear it and a heart that's open to receive it and to apply that word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, let's take a look here. So Timothy is soon sent to another church. Right? He did such a great job before. The report came back. Hey, excellent. Things are going well at Thessalonica. You know, everyone's happy with him. Everyone's glad about that things have turned, so to speak, down the right direction. And soon he comes to Paul, and Paul gives him another assignment, right? Gives him another assignment. And he finds himself this time sent to the church at Corinth. He's sent to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth was a little bit of a different situation. You might say it was a little bit of a more difficult situation. The church at Corinth, for one, was large. Corinth was one of the main cities of travel and the main cities of goods flowing throughout the empire there was at Corinth, a major city. It was also a city that was known for immorality. It was one of those places that people in the Roman Empire would go to have a good time, okay? That was kind of the reputation that Corinth had. But of course, there was a church there, so there were people of God there. Now, they were facing a number of obstacles, and the obstacles that they were facing, they're actually common in churches today still. Some of them not so much, but others absolutely. I want to explain a couple of them to you so that you can understand what it is that Timothy's dealing with and try to place yourself. This is something helpful for us to do. We really want to understand the context of the Word of God. Try to place yourself into Timothy's shoes as if he's sitting down and Paul's sitting down with him saying, hey, I got this new assignment I want you to take a look at, Timothy. I got this great place for you to go. Let me tell you about this church at Corinth here. All right? A couple of things here. In 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn your Bible there, I'll show you two quick things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says this. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and others I of Cephas, and others I of Christ. Then Paul asks this question in his letter to them. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? You see, one of the things they were dealing with, one of the very most difficult things, one of the most damaging, is they had division in their church. They had divisions in their church. People had begun to divide themselves, and they would begin to cling onto either certain people, certain types of personalities. They allowed their hearts to grow either hard towards certain people or very soft towards certain people. And they had begun to really lose focus. It was a matter of pride. It was a matter of jealousy in the hearts of the people as to who they're saying, oh, well, I was baptized by Paul, or, well, Cephas did yours, or yours was by Timothy, or you were by Apollos, but Paul, me, others would say I was of Christ. The reason that I say that they had missed it, the focus here, is that they'd begun to focus as a matter of pride on who they were disciples of, who had brought them to the faith. But the real focus is that all of the men that they were naming were servants of Christ, when the focus should have always been on Christ. That's the one who saves you. That's the one who made it possible for you to be reunited, to come into a relationship with the Father. He's the one who paid the price. And so they began to have divisions, all right, divisions within the church. Also, take a look at this, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 7. And this is where Paul basically gives the same answer to them in Scripture. He says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. Notice he says by whom you believed, not the one you believed on, right? Paul and Apollos, they're ministers. Continuing on, he says, even as the Lord gave to every man, he goes, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. But it's God that gave the increase. In other words, he says, don't place your trust in these men. Don't pride yourself at who it was that you received the word from, or whose church you were under or discipled from. He goes, that doesn't matter. Every one of us is just a man. We are, as I think it was D.L. Moody that said, just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. All right? That's the basic of the message he's given him. He goes, we're nothing. I'm Paul. I'm nothing. I'm just a servant of God, the one whom you ought to be focused on, the one whom you ought to be proud that you belong to, the one whom you ought to be following, Christ, Jesus Christ. That was the point he was making. So this church had divisions within their church. That's a very volatile situation to come into. Second thing, and this is the other thing that really was going to make it difficult for him, not only were they divided amongst themselves, but they had also had distrust of leaders. They absolutely distrusted the leader of the church. And this, I think, is one of the most heartbreaking things of the church at Corinth. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go to chapter 4 and then head over to verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read these, what Paul has to say about the church's lack of faith, not only in Paul, but also in the other apostles. You see, they had given them undeserved criticism. They had given them unrighteous judgments. They had begun to assume and make assumptions concerning Paul and his heart and his motives. And by the way, these judgments that they were making about Paul were not very kind. You may not realize it, but Paul was very, very much criticized by the church at Corinth. Very, very much scrutinized by them. We kind of see this begin to come out here in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5. Here's what Paul says. I'm going to kind of give you the scripture, and then I'll explain it in modern-day English for you as we go. He says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So he's telling them that, he says, I'm just a steward, right? I'm not a perfect man. I have faults. I have flaws. He goes, but I am a steward of the gospel of Christ. You and I, every one of us here today that has Christ to their account, the blood of Christ cleansing them, we are stewards of the gospel message that we've received. Have you thought about that this morning? I am a steward of the gospel. It is my responsibility to keep it well and to share it with others. You are a steward of the gospel. If you're saved today, then God has given you the gospel, and you have a responsibility not only to care for the gospel message through your testimony, through your lives, but also to share it. He says, that's what I am. I'm simply a servant. I'm a steward. I'm a steward of God. I'm not God. He says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is what's required of you, to be faithful. Faithful to God, not only with your life and the testimony of your life, but also in the things that God has called us to do, which is, namely, the giving of the gospel. Be faithful in this respect. Be faithful to the work that he's tipped you here for. But with me, he goes on, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. In other words, he goes on, he says, it really doesn't matter what you think of me, is what he says. It really doesn't matter what other men think of me, and it doesn't matter what I think of you. He goes, I don't even judge myself. He goes, I don't even look at myself in this way. And he goes on, he says, for I know nothing by myself. Yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And here's the gist of it, right? He says, one day when the Lord comes, all the hidden things, all the things that you suspect of me, is what he's telling them. He says, you know, you think I have these bad motives. You think that I'm somehow trying to twist the Old Testament here, the scriptures. You somehow think that I'm trying to take advantage of you, or that my words aren't trustworthy. He says, don't judge my motives. You don't know them. He says, however, look forward to the day of the Lord appearing, because when that day comes, and this is the same for you and I as well, all the hidden things, all the hidden motives of the heart, they're going to be revealed. And in that light, we shall see what it is that our heart was really focused on. And in that day, we shall receive of the Lord what's due. Now, these are just two of the primary things, the two big ones that he's really going to have a struggle with, because these are things that until the heart is right, he's going to be working an uphill battle with this church. They don't trust their leaders as it is, and they've already begun to divide themselves. So that is quite the battle that he's facing coming into this. Can you imagine Paul sitting down and telling Timothy this? Can you imagine what Timothy's thinking? He's like, okay, so you want me to go there as a leader, and they distrust leaders, including you. Okay, anything else I need to know about? Well, they've also divided themselves. They're not even one group right now. I mean, they all come together, but they don't really view themselves as a group. Okay, anything else? Let me give you a list of the other things that I don't really have time to expound upon this morning, but a couple of other things that the church is dealing with. Imagine Paul saying something like this. These are all the things we find throughout the book of Corinthians. Well, let's see here. Corinth kind of has a problem also with, you know, a couple of little things: sexual immorality, lack of church discipline. They've got lawsuits against each other. Their hearts are hard. They've also got this little issue with giving tithes and offerings. Legalism's become pretty big there also. I just want to let you know, legalism, kind of dealing with that a little bit. Idolatry, little thing there. And also the lack of unity. So other than that, though, they're a great church. You're gonna love it there. It's going to be great. How do you think Timothy felt about this? Could you imagine that conversation? Timothy's probably sitting there like, is that all? Anything else that I need to deal with? You've basically named every possible problem this church could have. So Timothy goes. Now at this time, turn with me, and we see here that he's sending Timothy to this church at Corinth. That's what we see in chapter 1, and he's explaining some of the issues, and chapter 1 is all about the issues. Turn now to 2 Corinthians, right? His second letter that he writes to them. I want you to see something here. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want you to read one verse here with me from verse 6 of chapter 7. Second letter he writes them says this in the 7th chapter. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us, speaking of the church, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Titus? What about Timothy? Isn't Timothy the one that he sent? So what does he mean by sending Titus? Well, I'll answer that question for you. Go look at chapter 1, verse 1 of this same book. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. I want to show you something that you may not have noticed before. He opens his letter, his second letter to the church at Corinth, with this statement in verse 1. Paul, remember, he's writing to them. This is who's writing to him. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Who's writing the letter to the church? Paul and Timothy. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Timothy's not at the church at this point. He's back with Paul. And we know from chapter 7, verse 6, Titus is there now. Now, it doesn't tell us what happened or what took place or what's going on, but what we do see is that somewhere between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, something has taken place. Timothy is not at the church. He's now with Paul, and they together are writing a letter to them. And who's there now? Titus. Titus is there. What this means is that, you see, when we read about that in chapter 6, now we understand Titus wasn't going to join Timothy. Titus went to replace him. The assumption, and this is an assumption, I don't know this, the assumption that I have is that things must not have worked out very well. Apparently, Timothy wasn't able to turn this church around, deal with all of these issues. And so the assumption that I see here is that he goes back to Paul, and Paul says, it's okay, I'm going to send Titus in your stead. Titus, you go take them, all right? Now, again, it's not clear what exactly took place, but it looks like Titus has gone to finish the job that Timothy began. So Timothy didn't have much luck, did he? Things didn't bode well for Timothy as he was there. Though I'm sure that he strived and gave it his all, it seems as if he wasn't able to handle all of this stuff. He wasn't able to really get them their hearts back on the right track. Can you imagine what Timothy must have been feeling or what he must have been like for him to see that despite his best efforts, things weren't going the way that he desired, that there were issues in the church and they continued, even though I'm sure he tried to be the best representative, the best counsel, the best pastor that he could. I can only imagine what his heart felt like. He had to feel disappointed. He probably felt like he was a failure. Anyone ever had a feeling like that? You ever, as I was talking about earlier this morning as we opened, you ever done something and gave it your all, and no matter, despite your best efforts, even though you can't think of anything that you've done wrong or anything that you've messed up, it seems like things just aren't going the way that you'd hoped. You can't really, it's heartbreaking. But here's the question that we want to answer this morning. And this is where we start to see how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with failure. The question is, where do we go from here when those times come? How do we deal with these things? Well, I hope to show you this morning how is that Timothy dealt with it and bring a couple of things to light here. How do we deal with rejection? Well, I want you now to turn to another epistle. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, all right? I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. So now we see what happened when he was at the church at Thessalonica. Went well, went to Corinth, lots of issues, didn't go so well, got replaced by Titus. And now we go to the next letter that Paul writes, and this time he's writing specifically to Timothy, right? Specifically to Timothy. So go to 1 Timothy. And as we get there, we begin at Paul is going to write his opening here. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So what do we see here? At this point, this is written after what took place at Corinth. Where is Timothy now? He's not with Paul still. He's not back at Corinth. He has a new assignment. Now he's at Ephesus. Ephesus was dealing with some issues of the doctrine, right? And so Timothy went to them. Now, I want you to see something here. Timothy went back to Paul and he humbly sought a new assignment. He didn't just tuck his tail. He didn't throw in the towel on his ministry. He didn't say, God, things didn't go well here. I guess you're done with me. I guess I'm just going to give up. That's not what he does. He says, God, I don't know what the purpose was in me going there. I gave it my best. It didn't work out very well. But he goes back and he continues to be a minister for God. He continues to be a light. He continues to be a willing servant. He takes that disappointment and he says, God, I know that you are able to use me, and if you will use me, I'm willing. And where does he go next? He goes to Ephesus. By the way, you may not know this, but if you read in Ephesians, Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus for many, many years. Many years. In fact, he was there pretty much until his dying day. So Timothy went back. He made the assumption that God wasn't done. I've got three quick lessons for you, and then we're going to close out now that you've got the story and the information. Let me bring some things to your attention that I hope you've seen as we've gone through. First, lesson one, God never stops using us until we stop being usable by God. And what causes us to be unusable? A heart that's not willing to be used. As long as we're willing to be used, willing to do the work, saying, God, use me, here am I, God will use you. He will use you. Because remember, it's not about your qualifications. It's not about your wisdom. It's not about your might, how charismatic you are. It's not about how much you know. God qualifies those that he calls. God equips those that he's called. Trust in God that he has a purpose. I put this here. One appointment does not sum up the entirety of your calling. If you put your all into something for God and it doesn't work out, don't think that, oh, I guess it wasn't meant to be. Keep going for God. Second, remember that nothing is coincidence. If God is sovereign, and he is, if God knows all, then there's no surprises. If God calls you to do something and it doesn't work out the way that we think, it's only you and I that think things didn't work out. If God has called you to do something and you experience failure or disappointment, perhaps God wasn't meaning for you to stay there. Perhaps that was part of the plan to prepare you, to equip you for something more later. I think Timothy was able to look at what was happening there at Corinth and say, okay, Thessalonica was preparing me for Corinth. Corinth was preparing me for Ephesus. All along the way, God was molding him, shaping him, putting him through things, and giving him both victories and defeats to prepare him for Ephesus, where he really stayed pretty much the rest of his time. And it's the same for you and I. I want us to have a takeaway from that, okay? When disappointments come, when failures come, keep that in your mind. One, God's not done using you. Two, what you think was a disappointment, what you think is a failure, God said, you didn't fail. I sent you there to endure these things or to fail in this way, to teach you, to prepare you, to equip you. Remember, God knows what he's doing. We are the only ones who think that it was a failure. If God has called you to do something, you didn't fail, regardless of how it may seem. You didn't fail. Because if you fail and God called you to it, then that means God fails. And does God fail? My God fails not. Keep that in mind. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. Third lesson, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 12 says this, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You see, Timothy didn't focus on failures. Timothy didn't focus on failures. He focused on the Savior. He focused on Christ. Nothing was going to stop him from serving God. When we fail in the endeavors of life, when we experience disappointment, focus on the kingdom above and not on the things of this world. When it seems like the world is coming down around you, like everything is going wrong, like the world, the sky is falling, if your eyes are focused on heaven, you really aren't going to care that much about what you're enduring in this life. It helps a lot when your focus isn't this world. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your mind. Now, there's one thing that marked the lives of men like Paul, like Timothy, like Titus. And if that one thing they all had in common, the one thing that marked their lives, and the reason that we know of them today is because of the impact of Jesus Christ, their focus and their work for his sake, for the kingdom of God. The day that they came to the Lord to repent, to believe on him, on Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin, their lives changed, their desires changed, their outlook changed, their focus changed, their eternal destination changed. They never stopped serving. They never gave up. They never bowed to disappointment or failure. This morning I said, if you're feeling discouraged, maybe you're experiencing failure in your life, maybe you're disappointed about something, I urge you to refocus your life on the Lord. Don't let it get you down. Continue in the work He's called you to do. However, in order to do this, you have to have a relationship with God. To be able to see what God's doing in your life, through your life, you first got to know Him. You first have to have a relationship. What was it that made Timothy so, I guess, convinced, so determined to serve God? He knew the God he served. He knew the love. He was humbled in his heart by Almighty God. The only way that happens is that we come to Him. We come to the cross. We're cleansed of sin by Christ. We see what God has done for the world. That He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and that's Christ. Gave Him upon that cross that he who believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You can have everlasting life. You can have a smile and a skip in your step. You can know that your purpose in this world and the reason that each of us, our hearts still beat, even after we've come to salvation, is because God said, now that you're saved, I've got work for you to do. If you've never experienced that, if there's never been a time in your life when you've come to the cross, when you've come to Christ to become a member of the family of God, then in a moment as the congregation sings, we invite you to come. We'll show you from the Word of God how you can have forgiveness, how you can be part of that family, and how you can be used of God for His glory, for His kingdom.